Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Repeat after me. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. I will rejoice, and I'll be glad in it. Because He said I could. Because He said so. Because He said so. It's not because all my bills are paid. It's not because I'm all happy all the time. The joy of the Lord is separate from your happiness and your bills and your health and who you like and who you're mad at. The joy of the Lord, He sets you free. He sets you free. The old song says, and He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. Glory to God. He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. Say that this morning. He set me free. He set me free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He set me free. Father, we come to You today acknowledging You are Creator. You are Creator. And You are the King of Heaven's armies. You are the commander of the angel army band that is encamped around the throne, and it's around Your children every day. God, we are blinded at times like the prophets who couldn't see the angels. But then when you removed those blinders, they looked up and they saw tens of thousands of angels around them, encamped around them, and they realized they were in the presence of greatness. They were in the presence of the Creator. Are you done worshiping? Are you done worshiping? I'm not either. Pastor Mike, come back up and get us back into that. We're talking about the head of the angel armies that are fighting on your behalf. If you've got children today, you better pray God unleash heaven's angels on their behalf. If you've got grandkids, you better be praying for them, because if you're not, who is? You better be praying for them. If you've got grown children not exactly serving God today, don't get mad at them. Unleash the angels. Unleash the angels. Unleash heaven today. That they will actually call you up, Mom, you'll never believe what happened to me today. You're living for that phone call, aren't you? Well, you're going to get it. Something good's about to happen to you. Take us in there. Come on, let's worship Him. Oh, my Lord God. Welcome to St. Charles River Church. More importantly, welcome into the presence of other believers worshiping the Creator this morning. Is this amazing? What God wants to do in you this morning is unlimited. It's unlimited. Say, I am. Ready. Give me. What I'm supposed to have today. Give me. What you got. Woo. And don't hold it back. Wow. Isn't God awesome? If this remains standing just for a second, if this is your first time attending, or your second time attending, or your third time, and you're still trying to figure it out, Can I just tell you something? We're really excited that you're here because we are growing. And we're growing in the faith. God's sending in new families, especially when we started introducing ourselves to this community. We're already seeing results of that. God is sending people in because we went out. What's the word say? Go out into the highways and the byways, out into the hedges. In other words, you might get a sticker. Might get a dog chase you, Bernie. Or the police, Bernie. Or a county councilman, Bernie. I'm just saying, you might get stung a little, but bring them in so that my house may be full. Why? So we can say we had 400 in church on Sunday? No! It is so God is honored and people are hearing good news because people matter to God, not attendance. Do you know I don't send it? Well, that's not true. I'm not good at sending in reports. I let Pam do it all. I let Pam do it all. Pam and I go, what do you think? Okay, put that number down. I don't know. I know we take attendance, but that's not, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care. What I care about is that we are obedient, loving, about the harvest believers that actually love God enough to go into the world and not judge them, but actually. So do this. Since y'all are here, and I know every one of you know each other's names this morning, we're going to flip the lights on and we're going to cross the aisles for about 3 minutes. And I want you to know that we are excited that you're here. If you don't know someone, seriously, if you don't know their name, chances are they don't know yours. Get over to them, introduce yourself, and write their name down. Because if you're like me, it evaporates quickly. So anybody else going to be that honest? Ain't nothing going to steal my joy. Ain't nothing going to steal my joy. Did you get that line? Ain't nothing going to steal my joy. Now, don't anybody leave the auditorium unless you had to go to the important little room. Now, if you're in that important little room, we're going to turn the volume up in it if you don't get back in here. Hey, will somebody do me a favor? Will somebody get a light bulb in that light back there? I'm a little ADD or a little... No, I'm joking. Don't anybody leave the auditorium. I just want to call out. There's a light bulb been out for about 3 weeks right back there. I don't know if that thing is ever going to get replaced, but if anybody after service would get a light bulb and put it in that bulb, it is just one of those things. If you say the word squirrel to me, I go after it, if you know what I mean. So I had to say it. I just called it out. Now it's not on my mind anymore. Y'all ready to talk about compromise? I'm not real confident in the response this morning, so I'm going to come over here. I said, are y'all ready to talk about compromise this morning? All right, let's see. Are you all ready to talk about compromise this morning? I think we better talk about it. I think we better talk about it because God laid it on my heart. Talk about compromise. What's the title of the message? The Great Compromise. I'm not going to talk to you about that yet. I'm going to talk to you about compromise, the whole accusation of compromise. For years, I've been in church. Most of my life, I've been in fact, all my life, I've been in church. My mom came to Christ first, got us into a little Baptist church that we were started attending in Moline Acres. Dad gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Not long after that, my grandmother, who pastored a church down in Steelville, Missouri, led my mom to the Lord. And so my mom gave her life over to Christ first, perhaps for the very first time in her life. That Canadian woman was a believer in Jesus Christ. Served God till the day she died. Chikandi took care of her the last how long? Two years? 2 years with my mom. Chikandi took care of my mom, prayed for my mom, laid hands on my mom, would care for my mom. My mom loved Chikandi more than she loved me. She threw me out of the room one time and let Chikandi stay. That's how much she loved Chikandi. Because Chikandi was feeding her, what was that? Chocolate pudding. My mom's favorite thing. To the day before she died, she was eating chocolate pudding and she kicked me out of the room. I'm not going to tell you exactly what she said either, because some of you think, well, she compromised. I want to talk to you about compromise, the accusation of compromise a little bit. Let me start with this. John 13:34. A new command I give you, love one another, and as I have loved you, so you must love one another. He goes on to say, Jesus speaking, this is how all men will know that you're my disciples, by the way you love one another. It's how you treat people. It's how, everybody say, it's how I treat people. That's how people will know that you're a disciple of Christ. It's how I treat the server at Cracker Barrel. It's how I treat people on Facebook that I don't agree with. Yeah, you get in the picture. Compromise. I was told for years by every worship leader I had, except for, where'd he go? Pastor Mike, where did he go? He's around here somewhere. He's probably getting all the sweat wiped off of him. I was told for years by most every worship leader that I ever had, when I would say, I don't care if that guy's a believer, put him on a platform. The guy knows how to play instruments. Have you ever heard of fishing? Didn't Jesus teach us, I'll make you fishers of? You put another lure on it, what kind of fish you going for? That's the kind of lure you put on a hook. I never tempted a musician to join the welcome team. Well, you don't know what he did on Saturday night. I don't know what you did on Saturday night either, but I let you at my front door. I don't know what server you were mean to last Saturday night at the restaurant, but I let you in the cafe. If I'm spitting, you tell me, dude. Move back one row. We're so, you know, I've had music directors and I've had, you know, worship leaders. We can't let anyone on the platform that hasn't got the anointing. That's compromise. And I say, hooey. Hooey. Everybody say, hooey. You wanted to, I could tell. Love big. Love beyond your comfort zone. Well, they're not full of the Holy Spirit and they're up on that platform. Then the anointing won't flow through them. It might get a hold of them. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I say this affectionately. I have invited an old cuss. I've never used that phrase in 17 years at St. Charles River Church. Don't be offended. This guy walks up to me at the end of me talking about our missions trip to Panama that we're getting ready to go on. And he says, his name's Tom. Hey, can I ask you something, preacher? I'm not a preacher, but go ahead and ask, what is it you want? You're going to feed a Muslim if they're hungry? Or are you going to make them love Jesus first? I said, why would I do that? If they're hungry, I'm going to feed them. Why would I do that? Well, what if a Sikh comes up to you? You're gonna make a Sikh sit through a church service before they go through the medical and get treatment? I said, why would I do that? Jesus never qualified anybody except that they were sinners. That made them qualified. They're human. By the way, we're all sinners saved by grace. So Tom says to me, so you're going to feed him? I said, yes. He said, good, I'll go. I said, go where? He said, I'm going with you to Panama. I'm a nurse. I don't know that I want him. I said this to him. This man has gone to be with the Lord since this date. So I'm not talking behind a dead man's back. But I told him this whole story and he laughed till he cried. I said, I thought you were a jerk. I don't want you on my trip. I don't have to live with you for 7 days. That man came, gave his life to Christ as a result of that missions trip. And today he is with Christ. He is with Christ because you put a hook, I'll make you fishers of men. Barry, you go out to dinner, you and Gina go out to dinner with people of alternative lifestyles. Give me a chance. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. There's a gay male couple over at Cracker Barrel. Every time I see them, I go sit with them. Sit down. I love these two. I love these two guys. They love me. I'm not being arrogant. I know they love me because they've told me. They've been in this church. And when I go sit next to them, I say, dude, you're paying. Do you know something? People are desperate for love. People are desperate for value, and they're not desperate to be judged. They get plenty of that. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. And when he went to the religious households, to a man named Simon, I didn't give this to you guys back there, but just listen to the story. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and he reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. Do you know the story? And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume all over them. When the Pharisee had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, and by the way, so did others, I'm sure, if this man were a prophet, he would know the kind of woman who is touching him, what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And Jesus, in verse 40, looked. He said, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said, verse 41. Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love more? And Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You judge correctly, said Jesus. And then he turned toward the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me water for my feet, which was customary, by the way, in the day for a Jew to welcome another Jew by having his feet washed. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. I want you to know, if most people did that today, they would say that man is enjoying, and he's probably enjoying the attention that woman's. Of course, that's what they're saying about Jesus in the story. Because Simon is saying something deeper than you would call her out. He's saying, you got a problem, Jesus. That's what he's really saying. It's you got it. You're enjoying it. You're letting her do it. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved me much. But he said, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. And then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. What a powerful gesture in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. She just wept. That's all she was doing, was weeping, because she's so desperate. She is so ashamed. Everyone in the room, she knows everyone in this room. Knows who I am and what I am. And he's the only one who had compassion. He didn't pull his feet back as though, what are people going to think when they see the master being washed, her head's feet being washed and kissed by a prostitute or an adulterer, adulteress. I got a song I want you to listen to. And I want to take you to that moment. And I want to talk to you about the great compromise. Instead of accusing Christians of compromise because they love someone, I want to talk to you about what the real compromise is. Doesn't get you. That is a powerful story of God saying it doesn't matter. Listen, let me address youth first. If mom and dad tell you don't do something, you obey mom and dad. That is your first command. Obey your parents. You understand that? You understand that? Okay, get that. Okay, now I've covered that. If God sends you somewhere, don't worry about what other Christians are going to think. I'm so tired of babysitting Christians and wondering what they're going to think when I put somebody on the platform. Listen to me. It matters what your reputation is. It does matter what your reputation is. But don't you hug so closely to that reputation that you won't go into the world, deep into the world, and find them that need Jesus Christ. I only got about half of you on that trip. I've been told all my life, if you go to that theater, well, that's a compromise. I was raised on what was more compromised. Can I tell you what the greatest compromise is? Let me tell you one more story before I go there. Not long ago, Hillsong Church invited a young man into their youth experience. Thousands of kids. I believe it was probably New York from what Pam had said she saw it. You see, if you don't watch TMZ, you didn't see what I saw. And I don't watch TMZ that much. I have to admit it kind of right between the two news slots that I like to fill. So every once in a while, and it caught my attention, they talked about Hillsong Church. And there's a video of Justin Bieber out on stage with the youth at the Hillsong Conference. You ever heard of a lure going fishing? You see, TMZ said, well, you know, that's the cool church. They like the movie stars. They, you know, they're all about getting big crowds. They like to invoke names. And TMZ was really, really just reeling it to Hillsong. I got news. They had a strategy, and it was called Love Big. So they went after a kid that's getting his life messed up because so many other people who don't know how to help this kid, they don't have Christ. So Hillsong says, we'll go after the kid. We'll go after the kid. So they invited him and they had him doing dance instruction with the, don't look at my dance by the way, dance instructing with the youth. And the worship dancers that were on the platform, and Justin Bieber is hearing thousands of Christian youth applauding him. You're one of us. We want you as one of us instead of judgment. I can't tell you how many times I heard people say, evangelists that I really loved deeply on TV give Billy Graham a hard time because he had Johnny Cash on his stage. Do you remember that? And oh my goodness. If there was ever a strategy, if I win Johnny Cash, do you know where this could go? And it did. It did go there. Because Billy Graham believed in loving people big, and he took hits for it from the Pentecostal. By the way, that was the realm that I was raised in. From the Pentecostal world, he's compromising. He's going after the movie stars on his stage. Get over ourselves, please. And actually decide, at least they're going after the harvest. There's a man years ago, my grandfather used to go into bars and preach. I go into a bar every time I get a chance. And I preach the gospel. And I'm going to keep doing that. And I'm going to be honest with you. 10 years ago, I would never have considered doing it. I would never have considered doing it. I got guys sitting at the bar. They're not Christians. They're sitting at the bar. And they're not even with a church that's in the room with us. They're just sitting there at the bar. And as I'm just letting Jesus, the love of Jesus, go, these guys have these big frosty mugs of booze going, that's it. That's it. At the end of service, they'll come up to me. That's the sweetest thing I ever heard. That I never knew that Jesus loved me. You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, he does. By the way, do you have a ride home? I actually go there. I actually do go there. By the way, do you have a ride home? Years ago, my grandfather used to go into bars. Years ago. He was the pastor at First Assembly of God in Steelville, Missouri. They started First Assembly of God. My grandparents gave birth to First Assembly of God, St. Charles, Steelville, Missouri, rather. And then Cherryville Assembly of God, Davisville Assembly of God, you name it, Assembly of God, they probably started it or pastored it. Pastor Harvey knew my grandparents. He went into a bar on Highway 19 between Cuba and Steelville. About what year was that, Dad? In the 40s? 45-ish. And he actually asked the owner of the bar, can I preach the gospel in your bar? And the bar owner gave him permission. So he started preaching the love of Jesus Christ. There was a man there, a young man there in that room, in that bar. And by the way, this was party central. This bar was right between Steelville and Cuba. It was party central. They came from both towns. It was flourishing. And there was a young man in that bar named Don Ives. And he heard the gospel through a man who cared to come into his world. And by the way, that same young man became a friend two, that my grandfather, this man's son, Marvin Ivey, Marvin and Betty pastored and started churches throughout Missouri. The last church they pastored was Calvary Assembly of God in Cuba, Missouri. And this man, Marvin, used to put him up. He's the sweetest man you'll ever meet, but he needed Christ. And by the way, his bride, she was a beautiful lady. Loved God. I mean, she was a sweetheart. Always treated me with dignity and respect. So gracious to me. And Marvin, my uncle, used to put Don on the stage and he'd play his guitar. He was good. He was really good. Don used to play and accept that Marvin was religious and all these things, but there was something about, as life went on, there was something about two men in his life, and it was Marvin Ivey and my dad. And at one point, Don Ives, because Marvin didn't judge him and because my dad didn't judge him, finally gave his life over to Jesus Christ. His daughter is sitting in this room, Pam Sweeter, sitting right over there. Wave, Pam, so everybody will know who you are. So as you're not just a figurative person in the room. And now Don Ives, his daughter, they're all on faith journeys for Jesus Christ. Three generations later, they're on faith journeys with Jesus Christ. This is what Pam said. I really do not think that my dad would have ever become a Christian without Marvin and Grandpa Ivy. That would be my dad. That's what they know him as in his life. They lived God's unconditional love for people. They never judged. That was not something many people showed my dad. Thank you, Pam. I got Pam's permission this morning to tell the story of Don. Don lived the rest of his life, and so did his bride, living out the love of Jesus Christ and other people, just loving on people, giving Jesus away. You see, I want to tell you something. Can I tell you what the great compromise is? We forgot that. The church did compromise, but it had nothing to do with what you did and, you know, out on Saturday night and or what you, hey, those are things that God convicts us of and works us through on the journey. But the great compromise will always be that we don't love people enough to go where they are, where they're hurting in their world. And by the way, someone came into my world and yanked me out of my bar. I didn't go to bars, but I had my version of the bar. I had my version of the sinful life that I was living in. And can I tell you the problem? I'm going to get really right to it because Jesus dealt with it. Jesus asked Simon the Pharisee, whose house he was in, who do you think loves much? And he says, the one whom has been forgiven much. The problem is we think that we weren't that bad as sinners. And there wasn't that much. I didn't drink. I didn't chew. I didn't go with girls who do. That whole thing. I didn't live a completely immoral life. It's just a little bit of here and there. And God knows I really was not a bad guy. Can I tell you something? You're blind if that's how you see your life. Because God doesn't measure sin. God sees sin as sin. It's sin. It's sin. It's sin. And I'm sorry it took me 17 years to bring you that message, but sin is sin. And if you don't realize, or if I don't realize, I have been forgiven, desperately forgiven. If I don't realize just how desperate I really am, not was, am, today, for the presence and the power of God in my life, if I don't get that today, I'm not going to love people. It's not my words, it's Jesus' words. Hey, don't mess with the words of the Master. We need to be broken before God to the point we are weeping at His feet, where words don't even come out of our mouths, where just utterances of repentance and wholeness. This woman with the alabaster box couldn't even speak. Her tears were doing all the speaking for her. But you see, Jesus went into her world and He took the accusations from the religious. By the way, I've said this many times, Jesus saved His harshest words for the religious judgmental. And He said, quote, "You brood of vipers." This is not easy medicine for us to take. The reason we don't love the world is because we don't think we did that bad. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. We don't think we did that bad. You know, well, theirs is, you know, this. I mean, you know, he'd been married twice, for crying out loud. Really? What'd you do on Facebook last week? Or for the last 5 years, for that matter? Who did you hurt? Who were we unkind to? Who did we compromise with? Who did we go to church and we weren't willing to speak to them because we're still mad at them? Who is it in the other church we still won't speak to because we're still mad at them? We need to be running to the arms of Christ, running to mercy, running to grace. And because here's the thing, I'm a sinner. I know that makes you mad if you were taught, well, you're no longer in the state of sin. No, listen to me. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Did you quit sinning once you gave your life to Christ? Don't you dare say no. Don't you dare say yes. Please. I hate to get the word out. Because Paul says, and when you sin, he didn't say, and if you sin. And when you sin, you have an advocate who is Christ Jesus before the Father. Had a family member of mine years ago. Do you remember the Waco fires? Do you remember the Waco fires with David Koresh? You remember that was such tragedy, such tragedy. And I had a family member I was talking to, believer, spirit-filled believer. And I was cutting hair at the time, and I was just sitting there listening. And I was listening to, and it had just happened. It had just happened. It's like the night before when the raid took place and they raided the compound and they killed a lot of people. I don't know. I don't know what's right or what's wrong when it comes to, I'm not there. So I don't judge law enforcement. I just don't judge them. I was not there. They have to make judgments that I could never make and I'm not trained to make. But here's a spirit-filled believer in my chair. I'm cutting this person's hair. And she made the statement, well, I'll tell you what, David Koresh is going to find out hell's fires a whole lot hotter than Waco's fires. And somehow in that voice was a sense of justification and pleasure. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We're not reaching the world because we don't think we're that bad. We don't think we're that desperate. And we haven't been forgiven that much. So we're not going out to reach the lost. We're letting them die in hell, go to hell. I'm sorry, I'll just say it. We have a go to hell attitude at times as the kingdom. The kingdom, I'm talking about the kingdom as a whole. We have a just go to hell. Why? Because seriously, Jesus said it. I didn't. The reason people don't love enough is because they really think they haven't been forgiven of much. We need to look inside ourselves and find out we are just like the woman with the alabaster box. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, teach us. Teach us. Teach us. Forgive me, Father. If anything in my life does not represent you, and God, you've got an alphabetical list if you wanted to show me, but you're gracious enough not to. And by the way, I also have an alphabetical list against myself, and I'm not gracious enough not to read it to myself. Some of us are just mean at times. I'm not just talking about SCRC. I mean, the kingdom can be mean and judgmental. Mean and judgmental towards people of alternative lifestyles. Just mad at them. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they've been through. I don't know what they've been through. And in this whole abortion issue, you know, we're so quick to use the word murder. You'll never hear me say that except to use it as an example of a word that Christians throw out there. And there are little girls in audiences all over churches and all over America listening to Christians call them murderers instead of compassionately talking about the tragedy that they went through and a decision that they at that time made. I don't judge that anymore. I used to. I was the king of judgment. And I thought I had room to judge. But I don't have room to judge. I stepped off of the judgment seat of Christ. I read the name on it and realized it only belongs to one. And I gave it back to him. So my privilege, Lord, my privilege is loving people. Teach me not to compromise the great compromise anymore. Teach me to stop compromising your love, because that's the only thing that will save the world. In Jesus' name, would you stand and give the Creator a huge hand? Would you stand and give the Creator a huge hand? Bow your heads with me. Bow your heads for just a moment. I just want to ask you quickly. Have you found yourself judging other people and you realize the Holy Spirit was dealing with you? I'm going to tell you, there was nobody in this room that was a bigger judge than me. So I'm just confessing. I'm going to tell you, I had a PhD in judging. I knew who was going to heaven and who was going to hell. See, I didn't realize how much I'd been forgiven. And so I didn't love people much. Oh, I said it. I love them. I don't want them to go to hell. They need to come out of that lifestyle. I'm going to tell you something. That's not the reason. If anyone goes to hell, it's not because of a lifestyle. It's going to be because they did not surrender their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They're going to be really messed up people who make it to heaven because they did surrender their lives to Jesus Christ and they didn't quit fighting. They kept in the journey. They kept in the journey of faith. He who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I need him to. Because I'm messed up and I need him to. It's when we don't realize we're messed up and we need him to that we get religious, and it's easier to point at somebody else's problems and failures than it is to face my own. Forgive me, God. Forgive me. If that's you, I'm not upset. I'm going to tell you something. I am so free. It took me 17 years to give this message. If that's you, would you join me on a journey of repentance, of judgment? Would you raise your right hand or left hand? Whichever one, just raise your hand. I'm so tired of ever thinking I have to have the privilege of judging or right to judge anyone. Would you just raise your hand and pull it right back down now? Okay. Thank you. Heavenly Father, there's a lot of honest people in this room. There's a lot of honest people. Thank you. Lord, we repent. We come before you and we repent and ask you for your grace and your mercy. Pastor Dave, come up here for a second. Pastor Dave Rispoli, pastor of Joy Community Church, has joined us this morning. I just saw him back there a couple minutes ago. This is a great brother in the Lord, I'll tell you. Can I get a microphone there, red microphone? I just want you to pray over us as a church, man.
Will you do it? God. Pastor, I'd be honored to pray. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you are awesome, and you are so good, and your presence, your spirit, your power is in this room right now.
Thank you, Father.
God, as we are bringing our hearts to you, we acknowledge that around this room, there's a few empty seats.
That's right.
God, we know that there are lives in our community that are empty, not because of who they are, or what they're doing.
That's right.
But because who they don't yet know. Your beautiful son, Jesus.
That's right.
So God, I pray that for every person in this room that you might just awaken in us a passion to go out and share a message of love.
That's right.
With our neighbors.
That's right.
With our family members, with our friends, with the people that we'll meet in the banks and the people that we'll meet in the bars.
That's right.
And God, we pray that you would use this church to just start a fire in this community.
Yes, yes.
That people would come to know you as Lord and Savior. That
that's
we could change this city, change this world with a radical love that starts right here.
That's right.
God, I thank you so much for the partnership that we share with St. Charles River Church and for the way that you've blessed both of our congregations and for what you're doing and what you're going to do.
That's right.
And we declare and acknowledge right now that the very best days for both of our bodies who are like one are not the days behind us, but the days that we're stepping into.
That's right.
Now as we step into a new season of passion for people and radical love for you and for this world.
That's right.
So God, as we close this service today, we just ask that you would use us powerfully in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give Pastor Dave a huge hand. I love you, buddy. Thank you. Woo, love that guy.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.